back to Matt Flynn Direct on Devil Radio. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. It's an important article in the New York Times yesterday, a banner article. Disturbing, but we're going to have to deal with it. It says that in Afghanistan, the Taliban believe they've won. They've overrun so much territory. They had a general in the Afghan army who defected to the Taliban, that the Taliban don't feel that they have to negotiate at all with the Afghan government or the United States. So they're going through the motions. And while they're negotiating in Europe, they kill people in Afghanistan. The United States, this was true under Trump, is continuing, says you got to stop it. They say, okay, and they do it anyway. The other day, there are three women who are healthcare workers who are giving polio shots to kids. Polio has resurfaced in Afghanistan and Pakistan. The Taliban went up, captured them, and killed them. Three women giving polio shots to kids. They killed them. This was in Jalalabad, eastern Afghanistan. Now, here is a terrible problem for the United States. We've been in Afghanistan for 20 years, practically. Almost 20 years, just after 9/11. The Ruskies were in there in the early 80s. The British were in there in the 19th century. This is not a, what I would, even a medieval society. It's a Stone Age society. The very sad reality is that when we leave, we're being begged not to leave. We're being begged not to leave by women, by and large, by university professors, by good people. There are a lot of good people in Afghanistan, like there are anywhere. There are good people everywhere. But the terrible choice we have to make is, do we keep a perpetual presence? John McCain said, how about 100 years? Well, I don't think we should have a 100-year occupation of anywhere. If we leave a force, it has to be large enough to defend itself. You can't leave 50 guys. They'll disappear. They'll get overrun. But if you leave 5,000, they're exposed and it's still an occupation force. That is the terrible decision that Joe Biden has to make. I don't envy him the decision, because the minute we leave, the Taliban will overrun everybody, close down all girls' schools, murder anybody who tries to teach girls. They'll murder Shiites, Christians, anybody who does not subscribe to their extremely punitive brand of Sunni Islam, and they will become a fundamentalist state. So what do? We're not protecting us from Osama bin Laden anymore. We're trying to be there to protect them from their own culture. A terrible, terrible decision. I will tell you this, the one thing we should not tolerate is its introduction into Europe or the United States. An announcement from Lindsey Graham, Wormwood. Crooked little, sneaky little Lindsey Graham from South Carolina. He said, I have an AR-15. I own an AR-15. I want an AR-15 because I want to defend myself in the event of the apocalypse and gangs swarm my house. Gang swarm my house. Well, there ain't going to be an apocalypse anytime soon. There are apocalyptic events in history, obviously. Fall of the Roman Empire, around 500, year 500. Europe went dark for 500 years, practically. Roaming bands of Vikings, Ottomans, Magyars, thieves, criminals. That was very unusual. It was also 1,500 years ago. Give me a break. Lindsey Graham says he wants his AR-15. So he can defend himself in the event of an apocalypse against gangs swarming Lindsey Graham. Lindsey Graham will be in his condo, his secure condo in Washington, D.C., so fast it'll make your head spin. So this is the kind of stuff you hear. It's not believable. Assault weapons should be banned. They were banned in the early 90s. Joe Biden got them banned. He was instrumental in getting them banned, and Bill Clinton backed him up. The NRA supported that ban. But then the NRA got more right-wing. They started to hang around with the Russians. They were over there. They got super right-wing, Trumpian, and they changed their mind, and the ban was lifted. when the Republicans carried the Congress. One piece of good news. I always like a little good news because we don't want everything to be apocalyptic. On our Mars rover, our Mars landing, it carried with it a helicopter named Ingenuity. Ingenuity, when it flies, is going to be carrying a piece, a cloth piece, of the airplane that the Wright brothers flew at Kitty Hawk in 1903. And I think that's terrific. I mean, think about that. Think about that. You're the Wright brothers, the first heavier-than-air pilots, machines. I think their flight was 12 seconds, but, you know, they go up in the air. That took a lot of guts, frankly. You go up in a heavier-than-air machine thinking that aerodynamically the wind going across your wings is good enough. What if you're up there 50 or 75 feet? They didn't go very far up, and you suddenly tumble to the ground. You're toast. You are toast. Toast. It's like the first guy that jumped out with a parachute. Yeah, it theoretically works, but what if it doesn't work? Now, do you think that back in 1903, the Wright brothers could have conceived that 118 years later, we had constructed a vehicle that not only could go to Mars and land on Mars, but launch a helicopter, which the Wright brothers had no conception could be done, and it would carry a piece of their airplane? Think about that. What's even more extraordinary is the Wright brothers in 1903, could they have conceived that 66 years later, in 1969, Neil Armstrong would walk on the moon, would not only get to the moon, would land on the moon, get out and walk around, and not sink through hundreds of miles of fine dust or something. They didn't know. And then get back on some kind of vehicle and come back to Earth. In 66 years after the Wright brothers first had the guts to try to fly a heavier-than-air machine for 12 or 15 seconds, 75 feet above, or whatever it was in the air. And as their airstrip, using a beach. Think about that. No, I love this kind of stuff. I love this kind of stuff. One thing that has always boggled my mind, you talk about helicopters, the Wright brothers wouldn't have a clue of a thing called a helicopter that could just sit there, suddenly whirl blades and go straight up. They could not have even imagined that. But you know who did imagine it and who wrote the engineering plans for it? It was Leonardo da Vinci in the early 1500s. They found it in his papers. The problem for him is they didn't have the metal, they didn't have engines, they didn't have fuel, and they couldn't have any conception that something like that was possible. But what Leonardo da Vinci did, he thought about it and he said, there's no question that you can have a helicopter. He didn't call it a helicopter. He called it something else. And he drew it. The guy actually drew it in the early 1500s, 500 years ago, you know, without any kind of manufacturing ability, engine, anything of that, motor, anything. And 500 years later, the Wright brothers fly at Kitty Hawk. 66 years after that, somebody's walking on the moon, and 118 years after that, there's a vehicle on Mars that launches its own helicopter with a piece of the Wright brothers' plane on it. This is all terrific stuff. I mean, that's really what America, in my view, stands for, that kind of innovation and growth. And we're the leaders of it around the world, and everybody looks to us, and I think it's great. And really, it transcends any social problems we think we have right now. Coming to a break, the lines are still open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.